Conductor Joanne Folletta's recording with the Buffalo Philharmonic of Respighi's Roman Trilogy was recently released by Naxos. She sat down with classical music indie's Michael Toulouse to talk about some of the highlights of the third part of this trilogy, The Pines of Rome.
What did you do about the nightingale in The Pines of Rome? And maybe if you want to explain that for people who might not be aware.
No, I will do that. You know, Respighi was capturing places and in Rome and also times of the day. And at twilight, the nightingale begins to sing. And so this was a very beautiful moment. And he was astonishingly modern because he was the first person to introduce a taped sound into a classical piece. And I think it was quite controversial.
Yeah, got booed for it and hissed.
Right, right. Yeah. He actually taped this nightingale himself. It was a nightingale that he heard where he lived, and he taped exactly what he wanted to hear from this living bird, this living creature. And at that point, they would send it to orchestras on an LP, or maybe even a 33, I guess. No, whatever, 78s, I guess, 78s. And you would play it at the appropriate moment, and then it was sent as a little tape file, and then a CD, and now it's a computer file. But it's the same nightingale, and I think that's so wonderful. It's exactly the same song. Respighi tells you where to start and where to fade out, because he changes the clarinet solo into the nightingale. The clarinet is singing like a nightingale, and all of a sudden, it becomes a nightingale at the very end of the movement. And that is the same nightingale that's been played hundreds of thousands of times in concert. And it's Respighi's nightingale, so it's very moving to me.
There's another aspect, technically, now not electronically technical in the sense, but in the technique of a conductor, rather, especially in this music, in The Pines of Rome, this crescendo where you start so quietly and then end, you know, at the ultimate, the loudest an orchestra can play, and you have worked with so many orchestras. I want to know, how do you know what the top level is for the given orchestra you're working with? I mean, is that...
Well, you know, you do have to experiment in rehearsal. It's more important to hold it back a little bit more so that it doesn't peak too soon. You don't want the triple forte to happen at the wrong moment, because Respighi is telling a story in this, and I know that you know this, but our listeners might not. It's Rome in the beginning of the Roman Empire, and it's before dawn, and the people of Rome start to hear this marching. But it's at a great distance, but they know that it must be hundreds and hundreds of soldiers, because they can actually feel it on the Appian Way that there's a great army approaching Rome. And there's tremendous fear in Rome, and you can hear, Respighi paints this masterfully, they're afraid. Is it the Visigoths? I mean, their army has been out fighting. They don't know who's coming back. Is it the enemy coming into Rome? Have they defeated their army? And the steps grow louder and louder and louder. I mean, slowly as they grow nearer. And they don't know how to find out. So the band, the army band who's still in Rome, plays out to the invisible band coming down the road. And they wait to hear, because they know if it's their band, they will hear back.
Okay.
And the brass from a distance, and we have them up way in the back of the balcony, plays back at them. And they do it again to be sure, and they play back again. So all of a sudden, the people of Rome erupt in joy, because not only are they not going to be conquered by anyone, but their husbands, their brothers, their sons are coming back home. And that's when you hear this tremendous wave of a crescendo. It's a wave of happiness, but it's one of the most moving parts of anything that Respighi wrote.
You speak of Rome, I think, in a way that someone would speak if they've had personal experience. Have you visited Italy very much?
I have visited Italy, and Rome is really a special place. They always say that for Rome, one lifetime is not enough, and it's really true. But to be standing in the place where people walked and lived 2,000 years ago is really a feeling that I hope everyone will have at some point. It's amazing. But Respighi tried to capture that. So you can sort of take a little travelogue by listening to these three Rome pieces, because Respighi is very interested in trying to get the Italians of his time to remember their past and their past glories and the things that the ancient Romans gave the world, their learning, their skills at certain things, their writings. And he's deliberately doing that. He's giving us references to Italy of 2,000 years ago.
Joanne Folletta with Classical Music Indie's Michael Toulouse on Rome and Respighi's depiction of this timeless city through the composer's own Roman trilogy.